Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansom Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Lead Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an artist, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole and those women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you on this rainy, rainy day?
Oh, I'm a little under the weather, believe it or not.
Under the weather being because of the weather, or are you a little bit sick?
No, I got a cold.
Are you sure it's just a cold now?
Positive, it's just a cold. Yeah, no. Believe it or not, even in the age of COVID, colds and allergies do exist.
Uh-huh, that's for sure. So
yeah.
That's all you needed. Are you resting a little bit? I know you're doing our show, but did you get a little bit of rest today?
I did. Well, I've been up since 3 a.m. because I couldn't really sleep. So I've been up since 3 a.m. and I try to sleep in the afternoon, but for some reason, if the sun is up, my body goes, yeah, no, it's not time for bed yet. So I have to be really, really sick in order to take a nap or anything like that. Unlike my wife, where it doesn't matter. So if she's got 5 minutes, she could sleep for 3.5 of those five. She could just like out and you know, like that. But me, yeah, it takes a little bit more than that. So I did knock off of work a little bit earlier, and I laid down for a little while, just, you know, kind of just chilled out with my little puppy and my cats, and that's it. So, and then I got up to do the show. And speaking of our show, somebody that hosts the show with me, not naming any names, Cindy, said that I may not be on time again this week, and I just want to point out that I was on time.
Oh, that's right, and I forgot all about it, and then all of a sudden I saw you were here very early, so I lose that bet, and you were sick, too.
Uh-huh.
It could have been a good excuse for you to lie down and take a nap
yep.
and be late.
Oh, yeah.
So did Alexa
Who
wake
cares?
You today? Did she
What's
wake
that?
You? Did
no.
you know you had said?
No, you heard me on the show last week. I set my alarm. And I had them going throughout the house. So all of a sudden, 20 minutes ago, you know, the alarm started going off. And I went, okay, let's get Blog Talk on the computer. And then, you know, 15 minutes to showtime, I said, okay, let's make my way out of the bedroom. And then 10 minutes to showtime, I'm like, okay, let's call into the show. Like, I was ready. I was not letting you win.
Wow, I'm so proud of you. Well, you see, these alarms work, except sometimes the internet goes down. Then it wouldn't
have been. Yeah. Well, that's why I had them on everything. That's why I had them not only on Alexa, but I had it on my phone. I had it on my regular alarm clock that has battery backup. So, yeah, you weren't winning this week. You were not winning.
Well, I'm very proud of you, and you had your cold and everything. So I would have forgiven you if today somehow you didn't make it on time. But it's so funny. It's always good to play. You know, that's what you have to do when you have kids. You have to, like, bet them that they won't do something, and then they'll do
much.
It then. You know,
pretty much.
But and remember, next week we do not have a show. That's April 22nd. It's Earth Day,
yep.
My birthday, my anniversary. So I am taking
and
off
Earth
that.
Day.
So. Yep, it's Earth Day, mm-hmm. So we've got to, like, do something good for the Earth that day, okay, and,
yep.
and every day, too, but especially on that day. Now, I cannot believe the volume of callers that we have tonight.
Oh, my God.
Maybe because it's rainy. I don't know, but it just, you know, the switchboard is kind of blowing up here. If you want to talk to us, you do have to press 1.
Yes.
So let's... See, like, we didn't screen the first caller. I think that's someone who called in before. I think that phone number, the 0054 looks very familiar. So maybe
all
I think that
so. Yeah, they've been waiting the longest. So, okay, so what we're going to do, just so that everybody that does not know our normal format, we never screen the first caller. So we just kind of hope and pray that it, that the first caller is always our brand of crazy. And while Cindy is talking to our first caller, I'm going to be ducking into the chat room. But so that I know to screen you, please press the number one so that I know to pull you in there, and we can get started. All right, so here we go. And also, I always identify you guys by the last four digits of your phone number. So if you hear those last four digits, I'm talking to you. So here we go to our first caller who's been waiting the longest. Last four digits of your number are 0054, and let's see who's waiting for us. Hello, 0054. You're on the air.
Hi, Nicole. How are you?
Hi, it's Cindy Chu, and who is this?
Oh, hi. This is Jennifer. How are you?
Hi, Jennifer. I thought your number looked a little familiar.
Yes, I haven't spoken to you guys in a couple of months, but I desperately need you, so I would have waited an eternity to speak to you guys tonight, so thank you.
Oh, you're so sweet. Now, Jennifer, what's happening in your world?
So I called you guys, maybe about 5 months or so ago. I had started in a new relationship, and you had told me that, it was a little bit early, but you told me you're in sight, and I actually got engaged about 2 months or so after I spoke to you guys, so that was like December, and things are going really well. I mean, we've had some bumps, and we've had kind of like the same types of bumps, and, there's some things that I'm working on for myself, just because as I've gotten older, I've realized just like the way that I handle things, I'm trying to address them. So we went away because we bought an RV in January, which is great. With everything going on, it's great to be able to go away and be able to drive.
Right, exactly.
And it's so ironic that these last like three bumps, and there's only been about four, like the bigger ones, has been while we were away with the RV. So the last one happened about a week and a half ago, and we came back the week before, not Saturday, the Saturday before Easter, very early in the morning. Then it was Easter, and I noticed that when we have a little scuffle, he really doesn't talk a lot for the first couple of days. I don't know if he's processing. He's very short. This time around, he didn't respond at all to me when I called and texted him. So by Tuesday or Wednesday, I stopped, and I said, whenever you're ready to talk. And then I tried one more time to call him Wednesday night. He actually answered. He said, we need to talk. I said, I know. That's, what I'm trying to get. So he came over Thursday. And to make a long story short, the conversation was basically we need a break. And I was totally thrown off. I thought we were going to have conversation. I thought we were going to try to work things out because we never really talked about the things that happened. It was just kind of silent for a couple of days. And then we kind of just moved on with our regular patterns. So I was just calling to see what you have to say, Cindy, and try to help me because I'm pretty much distraught. I had no recollection of knowing that he was going to suggest a break. I didn't even have a choice. I tried to say some things, but he was going to stick to whatever it is that's on his mind. Trust me.
And now how long have you been with him now altogether?
It's been about 7.5 months. I mean, when we got engaged, I was shocked. I had no idea it was coming. I was excited because I knew we weren't getting married at that exact moment and we had time.
Right. And well, it's, if anyone who's listened to this show long enough knows the first, 3 months, all love looks great. Around the 6 month marks, issues start to surface, and around 6 to 7, sometimes this is what happens. People, remember, the love was so strong the first 3 months you got engaged. I mean, like, that's how strong it is. Fear doesn't kick in yet. Now the fear is kicking in, the fear of what this really means to be engaged and to be married. And, of course, there are always issues to iron out. Love can be fixed 2 feet in a relationship or 2 feet out. Maybe he needs this time out, but it's not a good sign when someone needs to take 2 feet out at the 7 month mark. Okay. It's almost like we still need to talk and communicate.
That's what I said. I feel like how how are we not talking to each other? Then we're not talking about anything. We're not talking at all. He says that he wants to miss, you know, he wants the time to miss. I don't know if he needs things to address in his own personal space.
Right. And again, you know, you said some things that are a little bit of a red flag when you said, like, you know, when there's a fight, he doesn't talk for days and things like that. He doesn't have the best communication skills. You know, my feelings are, if you're going to forgive someone, why don't you forgive them sooner than later, rather than later? Why are you going to wait 3 days to, you know, to forgive? There's, you know, this has been a hard time for people, you know, with COVID, but you've been lucky you did get to travel and be together. What was the issue that seemed to be this big thing that you needed time out? Like, what happened?
So this is the same kind of situation that happened the other times, and that's the reason why he wanted this this time apart, was that we had been driving for hours. He was driving because I can't really drive with the RV now. Like, we can't split the driving. His mom was with us also this time around, which was great. We had a great time, by the way. And we stopped overnight because it takes us 2 days to get home. So we stopped, and we're in a parking lot because we have a generator and everything, so it you know, we can be pretty much anywhere. So the bottom line is that we were in between like two other RVs, and he got out of the car and he said that he smelled gas or whatever, and he was asking me, and I'll be honest, I didn't smell it. Like, I didn't smell the gas, and he was basically saying that the cars were running and that it was going to go into our RV and we were going to smell it. So he wanted to move the car. He wanted to move it to the other side. And what I've noticed, what happens is that he's indecisive at times. So he wants to move again. He wants to do this. And he's exhausted. So I was like, it's fine. Just leave it. And I guess he didn't like my answer or whatever, but he did ask me. And then what happened was that it just literally went from 0 to 1,000, which is what happened the other time. But this time around, I was actually really thinking about him. Like, you're tired. Just let's get in the RV and go to bed.
Right.
But it just somehow missed a couple of marks, whatever it was. Like I said, it was midnight. He was tired from driving. His mom doesn't speak English. So then it became a yelling thing. And then I got upset because now here I am in this situation, hours away from home. I'm not going to be home till tomorrow. And I got to sleep in there. And his mom is here, which is fine, but I'm just saying it's another person. So it was not good that night. And then the next day, I really tried to not be my normal self and not speak at all, because that's one of the things I'm working on, which, by the way, I apologize every single time. And I told him, I was honest with him from the beginning, the things that I'm working on. And
right.
He was helping me and talking to me. And I have to tell you, Cindy, minus these few things, our relationship is actually good. We don't argue on a regular basis at all.
Good.
But this, so when he walked in the door on Thursday night, he knocked and then he came in. He had two brown bags in his hand. He was very polite. He came in, blah, 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 kiss on the cheek. He puts the brown bags on the table. My dog runs over to him. So that takes a couple of minutes. So I didn't realize what was in the bags yet. I had no idea. I actually forgot about them. So what do you think was in the bags?
All your stuff.
He packed up my stuff from his place. That was in one bag. And the other bag was, he went to the RV within those couple of days, and he packed up the stuff that I had bought for the RV. That was in the other bag. So we sat down, and I still didn't know what was coming at me. I'm usually not that blindsided, I'll be honest.
Right, of course.
I was hysterical, so I missed half of the things that he said. I didn't even comprehend. I don't even know. I think he said we're taking a break for a month, because that's how much longer his mother's here. And I said, oh, well, that's convenient. Your mom's here. But you're abandoning me. You're not going to talk to me. How are we supposed to work anything out? So he called me the next night. He called me Friday night to see how I was. I told him that I respect his decision and that, of course, a little bit of time had passed. But I'm very upset.
Well, did he break the engagement?
No. So here's the thing. And I
think you're engaged, but you have all your stuff back. This is a little crazy.
And he packed up his stuff from here before he left on his own, because I didn't pack his stuff up. And he said to me he thought about taking the ring back and putting it in the safe, but he decided not to. So I don't really know what that means either.
Okay.
But my ring doesn't mean anything to me right now, because I don't know.
Right, because it's just an object without the emotions backing it. You know, this is very typical. And, you know, the first 3 months that soulmate love was strong and you almost rushed into it too quickly with the engagement, okay? And, you know, now the reality of what this means is kicking in. Normally the 6 to 9 month marker or the deal break is going to be happening. And what's it about? He seems to have gotten really scared. We always have to relive our parents' relationship, their marriage, and you know, sometimes the fights that go from A to Z are not even your own fights. It's usually mirroring a fight that his parents might have had or your parents might have had. That's why it always gets these crazy things that we don't know how we got from, like 2 hours later, like what started this fight? Because you don't even remember it, so far off the track.
Could it be from a past relationship of something that was never addressed or something like that that surfaced?
Right. And, you know, if he's never had a soulmate before, a lot of these issues would never have surfaced. If he has a woman to fit a plan on the ladder of love, which is a mediocre version of love, that doesn't really bring up big issues. Unfortunately, soulmate love brings up big issues, and that starts surfacing 5-6 months into it.
And, you know, I've never dealt with this either because I haven't had that. So
that's what I'm saying. So the two of you
different.
Who have never had a soulmate, although you've had other relationships, the thing about the soulmate is that it starts demanding heal big issues. Some of those are our childhood issues. Some of those are, you know, trying to understand our parents and not judge them so much. And, you know, fears of loving someone who could die on you makes people scared at this point. But, you know, he's thinking he was fine before you came into his life. He really wasn't. He had a Band-Aid on a carcinoma, and all those issues are surfacing. And he's trying to run away from them. He's trying to slow down the process of these things coming. On top of it, his mother's here, and he seems to have some issues with her as well that are being triggered. And so, you know, all of a sudden, he's running away. There's not much you can do when someone, you know, decides to take their 2 feet out. It doesn't mean it's over, per se. It just means he needs his own space. The problem with this is you don't want to start in a pattern because a lot of your generation does this. They break up, go back, break up, go back. You know, you giving him his space, but I would say, you know, 2 weeks from now, I know you're going to be like not able to sleep or eat during this time, and I need you to be patient. Okay, he has to fear losing you more than loving you. Whatever issues are surfacing, he has to start realizing are not from you. They're in him. And, you know, he can run, but these issues are going to keep surfacing. So, you know, exercising some patience for 2 weeks, at that point, if he hasn't contacted you, you know, you have a right to contact him and ask him how he's doing, and we really need to talk and let's, you know, communicate.
What if he doesn't want to at that point?
Yeah, you know, if you push too hard, a runner can really run, okay? And yet you don't want to enable this behavior forever.
Right.
What I found is most of us don't exercise enough patience. Even, you know, the way he wanted to get engaged so quickly shows he's not a patient man, okay? Like, that was kind of, like, fast.
I was shocked, Cindy. I mean, it was his mother's birthday. We were out for her birthday. I had no idea.
And
his mother
course,
was here, by the way. His mother was here when he proposed also. That was in December.
Right, and of course he felt strongly about that now, and now he knows the reality of, you know, the fears and the unhealed issues are surfacing. The best thing you could do is be patient, okay?
I have
not necessarily take this personally because it's not about you. I mean, it looks like his parents had a volatile marriage. Do you know about
any
of that?
Well, his father's passed away. It's just been 2 years, so...
And did he tell you about that, you know, they had their ups and downs in the marriage?
I mean, he spoke about they were married for a very long time, but, you know, he didn't get into any, like, specific detail about anything like that, no.
I mean, they seem to argue a lot. And now, you know, 2 years ago his father died. Now, who do you think brought you together? Soulmate love comes from God and someone who died.
I would say, I thought it would be my mom because
she's
always
the one that... It would be your mom and his dad.
His dad, exactly.
His mom, you know, your mom and his dad brought you guys together. And, you know, I'm not surprised that, you know, this is kicking in his fear because what his real fear is kicking in is the fear of loving someone who could die on him. And, you know, you can tell him you're going to love him forever, but can you guarantee you're not going to die?
No, of course not.
so, of course, this is triggering, like, big fears in him. He's never really mourned for his father properly. That's part of the problem as well. So some of that's coming up. And, you know, he's just running right now from all of this. And
so did this last big fight, because this was like the fourth solar time, is this what triggered this happening? Or it was going to happen anyway because of the things that he's going through?
Well, it's going to happen anyway, but it's happening quicker because of this relationship, okay? You know, and, you know, I think you've done a better job of dealing with the loss of your mother.
Well, you know, I always ask about her to you. It's a struggle
right.
every day, but yeah.
Right, but you've done a better job than he's managed to do at this point. He's never really healed from it. And, you know, and this is what's coming into him, is that now I need to mourn. So he's really filled with fear right now. So giving him a little space, you know, he's not happy right now. You know, he's sad. He doesn't even know why.
Yeah, I don't believe that he was happy even when he came over here and told me.
No, he's not happy, okay? He's not happy. You know, he's, and again, this soulmate love came from above, okay? You know, his father said sometimes when you're having these fights, that's how his parents fought. They, like, didn't talk for days on end when they had fights.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. Okay, and so, you know, he's doing some of the stuff that happened. And sometimes we have to become our parents to understand how hard relationships are and to stop judging them. And, you know, you're the love of his life, okay, and he's scared. All I could tell you is be patient a little bit. Then you have to address it, because this can't go on forever without confronting him. But, you know, his father said he's going to scream at him from above and try to kick some sense into him.
And I've never met him, but he seemed like a great person from what I heard.
He's a lot easier going than the mother. I don't know if you know, the mother's not that easygoing.
I do get along well with her, even though we can't talk a lot because of the language barrier, but I do.
He makes him nervous sometimes. You know, he's always
trying
to
please that.
Her.
I've actually seen it before, yeah.
He's trying to please her all the time. You know, and she's not always easy to please. Of course, she does like you and, you know, thinks you're a nice girl. But, you know, that's part of the issue, is the mom's here. It's a lot of stress on him.
So in another week or so, Cindy, she's still going to be here. You don't think I should wait until after she leaves, even though it's a much longer time?
Yeah. How long is she going to be here for?
So he said that he wanted to take a break for a month, and that's exactly how long she was going to be here. So I think she's leaving May 3rd or so.
Right. I would just, you know, I would try not to contact him. You know, 2 weeks you could do it if you're desperate, but I...
And then if he doesn't respond, do it another 2 weeks?
Right. You know, and okay. Just see what happens. I mean, you have to be patient. He's got a lot of extremes of moods going on here, and, you know, he's not happy with this, you know, what he's doing. He doesn't even understand it. But people's fears get really big at this point. You know, Nicole, I don't know if you're listening, but Nicole's been doing our show for a long time, and this is not an unusual pattern that's happening. It's pretty common in relationships, so at this point. And, you know,
I should specifically say to him other than that we should talk, Cindy, because of this?
I would just say, you know, look, this, you know, we got in this relationship very quickly, and the love is very strong, and explain, you know, and unhealed issues surface in a deep love, and that's what's happening to both of us. So, you know, it's scary for both of us. And, you know, talk the fear words, mention them. Don't pretend that, you know, they're not there. You know what I mean? Like, don't ignore the elephant in the room, which he's afraid. And,
yeah.
You know, call in again and let us know what's happening, what happens with him. Do you know him to drink at all?
We don't really drink. Right. To be honest with you, like,
I don't see he has any distractions.
He ends up giving me the rest of his drink.
Right. I don't see he has any distractions that are major. Like, you know, some people drink and then they run away from their issues. Like, I don't see he's got a lot of distracting behaviors, which is good, which means he's going to feel the pain of losing you.
Well, that's what he told me he wanted to have. That's why he packed up my stuff and everything. But I wonder if he took all the pictures down of us and stuff. Like, I have no idea.
Right.
It's like I never existed.
Well, that's not how he feels. He misses you. And, you know, it seems like his mother makes him very nervous, okay? You know, that he's trying to please her. And, you know, it's a lot on him. So let's just see what happens. Don't make yourself crazy with what if this doesn't, you know, what if he doesn't contact you? What if this happens? Just try to, you know, keep yourself busy and with healthy activities, you know, and
rest
a little more, eat well, you know, work out, do positive things so that it'll help with the stress and, you know, maybe talk with friends you haven't talked to in a while or just use this time wisely and see what happens. I have a feeling he'll contact you sooner than later. You might not have to be the one who has to do this.
But we don't know what he's going to say. Like, it could be over, right?
It's not what he wants. It's not what he wants. And again, people get scared and they run away. It's not uncommon for people. The higher the love, the greater the fear, and the faster people run. That's the sad part about it. You know, he might not be rejecting you right now. He's rejecting the higher love you're offering him and the healing that that demands. So, again, stepping outside of taking it all personally would be helpful. And, you know, he's missing you a lot. He doesn't know why he did what he did. He's not a happy camper, I'll tell you right now. So,
all right, Cindy. I so appreciate you talking to me.
And again, call in again. If you're freaking out, we don't have a show next week, but if you're freaking out on April 29th, call in again. Like, you know, if you need us, we're here.
I might have to. I usually wait a couple of months, but I...
If you're having a really hard time of it, call in, okay? And all of our listeners, please say a prayer.
Thank you.
Say a prayer for them that, you know, he finds his way and doesn't screw this up, please. You know, like, please.
Oh, whoever's listening, say a prayer for me. Please.
Right. And good luck to you and stay strong.
This could be so difficult, Cindy. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Have a wonderful evening and feel good.
Bye.
Thank you, Cindy. Bye.
Bye. Oh, Nicole, don't you hate that? You know, like, it's like clockwork. Is this like, how many times do you think I have said the same thing in this show about soulmate relationship? I mean, it almost sounds like I say the same thing all the time, but it's this is such a common, you know, the
well, you
6 months mark
it's
people
funny.
Start running.
It's funny that you should say that because our listeners will probably remember this, and you'll probably remember this. A while back, we had my friend Kathy who called in, and you know, she was talking about her boyfriend and this and that and everything else. And one of the things that I constantly tell her, because she's like, you know what, I was going to call in, but, you know, I don't know if it's time. You know, I was going to call in and this and that. And I said, listen, I said, you don't have to call in and speak to Cindy to get anything from the show. I said, usually there's something, you know, there's some sort of synchronicity happening where if you're just listening, you know, she says, and I said, she says a lot of the same things a lot of the time because this is not specific to you. You know, this is specific to a lot of people. A lot of people are going through the same thing. So even if you don't get on, it doesn't mean that you're not going to get a message. You know, so I think that it's very, very good that you say a lot of the same things, you know, because it means that the people that need to hear these messages are getting them.
Right, exactly. And just, you know, and I hope she hangs in there and stays strong. I know how, horrifying, you know, it must feel to her. And we went through this with Amanda Fest, Amanda, okay?
I was thinking that. You know,
right, and how they were all strong. Gave her flowers on Monday and candy because she had COVID and broke up with her on Friday. Like, what was with that?
No sense whatsoever to me. You know, and I told Amanda Fest that, too. You know, I was like, you know, something about the whole situation just doesn't make sense. And I thought, clearly there's something to do with family. But, you know, listen, I understand that people's families are important factors in relationships. Of course, everybody wants everybody else to get along and things like that. But if you've got a true love, if you've got somebody that is your soulmate and your family is causing static, you've got to remember one thing. That is that sometimes your family, believe it or not, you know, sometimes you need to wish that you're karmically free of them and their karma
sometimes they let their bad experiences and they let their bad karma affect you. And sometimes the lesson that you have to learn is to stand up to those people and embrace the love that you're being given.
So
that could be part of the lesson. And I think that you know, some of these people are failing that miserably because they're thinking, oh, yeah, my family, you know, my family this, my family that. Okay, you know, I got to give up on this love now because of my family. Like, no, you're missing the boat there, guys. You're missing the boat there, people. So I don't know. I really, really don't know. But I definitely feel, for anybody that's in that situation. And, just as a, especially since we have no show for next week, everybody just throw a prayer out there that, the love that people are supposed to have and the love that people deserve comes to them and stays with them. It's not that it comes, it's going to stay. So everybody say a prayer for these people, while we're gone so they can hang in there until our next show.
No, exactly. And, it's so sad because, I make probably most of my money, most of my readings on commitment phobics who run away.
Yeah.
Sadly, this is like nothing new. But, again, when the love is so strong and people rush into things so quickly, I want to get married, I want to get engaged, that becomes part of the problem almost, that it's, the love is so strong and the person almost knows that their fear is going to kick in. And they're just trying to, like, let me do this. Let me get engaged. Let me do this so that I don't screw it up. And then the fear kicks in. So, that was the truth of how he felt. And now that, all the fear has come in. And, it's...
And listen, fear goes with the territory, too. It's okay to have a little bit of fear, when you're going into something new. And it's okay to have fear when you're taking the next big step. Nobody's expecting everything to be smooth sailing. It wouldn't be interesting if it was. At a certain point, though, you just have to embrace that fear. It's kind of like being on a roller coaster. It's not worth the ride if you don't get that feeling in your stomach as everything begins, as the ride progresses. It's okay to have the fear, but you got to face it, and you got to move on from it, and you got to work through it, and you got to do it while communicating with your partner.
Yeah, that's the point. Like, the running away afraid. And at some level, people that are able to do this have some level of narcissism because, they're hurting themselves, but they're hurting someone else. It's hard to look at someone and pull this. So that's why, if people continue to do this pattern, it's not good. Again, this is the first time he's actually, done this, but, you don't want to be in these relationships that go on for 10 years with these people. Like, every year, every couple of months, they break up, and then they get back again because they get scared.
Listen, I've been there. I was with somebody who was emotionally unavailable for 10 years. I've been there before, so I'm not without fault myself, it's not like I'm passing judgment on other people's things without having gone through it myself. I've been there. I was, me, Cindy, I was such a commitment phobic, and I wouldn't even face the fact that I was a commitment phobe. I just insisted it was always, it was always the other person's fault, that I was ready with 2 feet in, but there's a difference between being in a relationship with 2 feet in and being in a relationship and in quicksand. Okay. Because when you're in quicksand, you're not in it with 2 feet, you're stuck. And the whole idea is that you got to get unstuck. So I'm not without the same thing. Listen, it's part of it, but you've got to work through those things and you've got to move forward, Otherwise, you're going to die there.
Right.
And not physically, but figuratively, you're going to die there. The love is going to die there. It's going to die on the vine. You will not have that sense of fulfillment that should come with love if you don't work through those things.
Right, exactly. And, it's so... It almost hurts my heart, all these things, many times to hear how these soulmate things, people get so scared and then they end up running away or screwing this up. So, his dad was pretty much screaming from the other side, though, like, what an idiot.
I believe it, Posh don't like it. I get it.
Her mother was being calm and quiet. She let the father do all the yelling, let him yell at his moron son for this, So,
You know, I said that this is the whole reason I wrote Grant Me a Higher Love, because I knew what it was to have a high love. And, you know, the person ran so far and so fast that there had to be some reason that a higher love doesn't work out. Like, what is it? And the bottom line is it's fear. So people decide to walk that path of fear rather than the path of love. And, yep. You know, our mission is to, like, how about walking the path of love, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and not this fear thing all the time. And, you know, it's
exactly
frightening. Well, we have a couple others. We have Liz, right? Is that one of the ones here?
Yes. Yeah, we have Liz. And, you know, Liz basically just wants a general reading. You know, last time she called in was a couple of months ago, and she had lost her partner, Erica. And now, you know, she's just looking forward to, you know, the future. And she just wants to see if you see anything special coming up for her. So here we go out to Liz in New Jersey. Hello, Liz. You're on the air.
Hey.
Hi, Liz. Thanks for calling in. I know we have a reading schedule, so I think this is good because you're getting a little bit of sampling here and then tweaked later. You actually have very, very, very good cards, okay? I know you lost Erica. I feel like I know Erica, okay? Like,
Is she hanging around and bugging you?
Yeah, she likes me. She likes me a lot. That's why she hangs out with me, you know? And she asked me, you know, when you were texting me the other day, am I driving you crazy, she said to me. And I was like, no, I like you. It's okay. She, you know, you heard our last caller, and soulmate love comes from God and someone who dies. Erica has to bring you another soulmate. That's part of what she's under obligation to do. And she seems to be clapping her hands very excitedly that she will bring you another soulmate. You know, for someone who's lost the love of your life, and we have, you know, you're the love of her life because she's gone now, but you will have another love of your life. You have the Wheel of Fortunes, which is a five-year period in which God would like to bring you what you want. You have the Ace of Swords, which is strength, a year of strength. The Ace of Wands, which is a year of peace. Across from that is a soulmate card. Then there's an unusual alignment. You have the Magician, which means you're going to learn how to be more psychic. Across from the High Priestess, which is you becoming the High Priestess. Her job is to teach you how to communicate to the other side. She has a wonderful woman coming for you who's very generous. That's the alignment of cards that I have. There wasn't one bad card out of eight. So
are you
getting the messages from her? Are you getting any communion from her on the other side?
I have been for a long time, and it's just lately I haven't seen much, but I know she's around. I mean, I know it. And it's interesting that you said, you know, what you said about, you know, trying to communicate with the other side. I've really been trying to do those kinds of things and try to open myself and just at least feel some connection to her. That's been more my motivation.
And she's also promising you that the person coming, you know, will be a good person for you money-wise, and that you will be okay money-wise. Okay.
Okay. I mean, I'm not, I was worried about that at first. I feel like over the months now that, I mean, it's about to be 5 months since she passed, and I've been okay. I've been managing, thank God. Everything's been okay. I mean, nothing's changed for me financially, but things are working out.
Promises that will work out fine. You know, she misses you a lot. So, she gives a lot of signs through music. Are you listening to music at all lately?
Yeah, I have been. So
she seems to like that. You know, she has to be careful because by nature, she would not follow rules and maybe manifest in front of you and do stuff she's not supposed to. I had to reprimand her.
I've asked her that.
Uh-huh. And I had to reprimand her because she said to me 2 days ago, is it okay if I manifest in front of her? I go, you're asking me? You know that's not okay. It will scare her. And she was.
I wouldn't scare me. I would. I've actually asked her, but if it's against the rules, then I don't want
to
get in trouble.
Her because she's not allowed to do that. And she will do anything for you, including manifest, which will mean she will not be allowed down on earth for visits for probably 6 months to a year. Because we're only supposed to see the dead when we're dying,
Okay, so for a lot of people, that could be really scary to have manifest. And even though you think you wouldn't be scared, they're not allowed. So, you know, she said, don't get me in trouble, okay? Because this girl is not necessarily a rule follower, okay?
No, she never has been.
Okay, and I would try to explain to her pretty strongly that this is not like on Earth where you can get away with bullshit for a long time and you don't get caught. It's instant karma up there. You manifest to her, they're going to yank you up and lock you away, and you will be, all your privileges will be revoked. And she was like, really? I go, you know, you've been warned. They've told you. I'm not telling you anything you don't hear. Because she was trying to see if she could get me to maybe get, I don't know, talk to God or a spirit guide or somebody. Can Erica be the exception to the rule, you know? And I was like, don't even go there, okay? So if you would stop asking her to manifest, you can ask her to come to you in the dream plane, which is allowed to manifest there, which it will feel really real, and you will feel like you really saw her.
I've had two experiences like that that have been really nice.
And that's allowed, so she can do that. She just cracked me up. She goes, well, maybe I'll manifest in front of you, meaning to me. I go, really? You want me to drop dead like I think I'm dying? Don't do that. Okay. You know, I only had it happen to me once, and she was this, and I was in my house alone, and I was looking in the mirror and just, like, fixing my hair because a client was coming any minute. And behind me in the, was standing this little old Italian woman with, like, her hair really nice, and she's putting on this, like, red lipstick, and I got scared. She's in my house. Who is this person? And I turn, and she wasn't there. And when I read that next client who came in, I realized it was her grandmother. And I said, you know, your grandmother manifested, which she's not supposed to do. And she was putting on her red lipstick, and she started laughing because she said, my grandmother always wore red lipstick wherever she went, like she, if she went to the garbage.
Wow.
And when she died, she was dying, she asked her granddaughter to put on her red lipstick because she wanted to look nice for Jesus. And, you know, and I said to her, you know, she has to say she's sorry for, like, manifesting to me. It's not permitted. And, you know, she said her grandmother's favorite expression was, it's better to ask forgiveness than permission, you know. And so so that's her grandmother.
That's Erica's mantra, too, so I can understand.
That's why she told me to tell you the story, that you would know what I'm talking about. Because I'm writing my memoir, and that little story is in my memoir. And when I was editing that section the other day, Erica came through and started laughing. And I said, okay, you still with the manifesting? Don't even do that. And if you could have to help this girl follow the rules. She's cracking up laughing. And I think what she wanted tonight was for you to understand she's still very much Erica. She wanted you to laugh. She wanted you to know she would do anything for you. But she's trying to be a good girl up there, okay? You know, and she adores you, and the beautiful alignment of cards that she gave is she will teach you how to commune, she will bring you a soulmate, and she wants you to be peaceful, and, you know, you'll have your ups and downs. With mourning, it's some good days, some very, very bad days, okay?
Yeah.
And take the good days when you can. When you're happy, she's happy. When you're sad, she's sad. Okay, and
I'm really trying, but that's part of why I called earlier than waiting, you know, for
that's
our
okay, that's what we're here for. We're like, this is my psychic 911 here, because there's no way in hell that people can get a reading without 5 or 6 weeks wait. And so with this, it's like, if it's a psychic 911, you could call in the radio show. You know, that's what we're here for. That's like the little band-aid that you need to get through. But that's just a little sampling of what your reading is going to go like, okay? So be prepared to hear lots of good things. She's doing her life review. She's really cooperating with it. And she said there's some things that she's having trouble forgiving herself about, okay? And she's working on that too. And, you know, she's the dead are so funny. They go from laughter to, like, very serious, like in like a second, like their moods. They go from laughing to crying. And it, you know, I've been doing this 25 years. The first year or two of doing this, it was a little disconcerting to me how, like, they cry 1 second, they laugh the next. Like, I was like, what's with that? But they just live very much in the moment of what they're feeling. Like, we can, like, with that caller before with the guy, her boyfriend and her fiance, how, you know, he'll grudge us for 3 days and they don't talk, you know, that kind of stuff. That's not like that up there. It's like, okay, if they're mad, they're mad for a second, and then they're already on to something else. So we can maybe learn from that, you know, don't hold on to these emotions. For, like, in what she's trying to say to me to tell you is, if you're feeling bad and you miss her, hold on to that feeling for the 15 minutes or an hour and then let it go. Okay. And then feel the joy of the day. Like, you know, she said, be like the dead. And I'm laughing, like, be like the dead, you know, just hear the emotions, feel them, sense them. But just because you're having a bad moment or feeling bad about something doesn't mean you have to feel bad all day. It means, yes, at that moment, something's churned up or feeling some real emotion. And then feel that and process it and go to the next emotion. And that's kind of what they've taught me to do. And you know, I really do like her very much. She always tells me she likes me. She blows me kisses a lot. She blows me kisses across the room and stuff like that. She's like,
that's so funny.
Cute. Okay. And, you know, if you, you know, kind of write down some questions for your reading, and anyone who's getting readings from me, so it's good to, like, have some questions written down. I will probably answer them without you even telling them to me, but it just focuses the reading a little bit for you and for your spirit guides and anyone else who might want to churn in or give their two cents.
Okay. No, definitely. I was thinking about that, so I appreciate it. And thank you, because, I mean, that's how I've just been feeling, like, life is just very monotonous right now, just living here alone with my two dogs and not having much going on, that I just felt like I needed to kind of get a glimpse of that there's better things to come and that
this is
temporary and, you know.
Yes, this is temporary. That's exactly what it is. That's what they try to teach. Everything is temporary, okay? It's not not forever. And, you know, learning that is probably one of the most important things we can learn. And, you know, pay attention to the dogs in there, because when she's down on Earth visiting, those dogs should be staring at and acting a little peculiar. You know, and, you know, just be at peace. And, you know, it was such a sudden death, so you didn't have any time to process it at all.
No, you know? Not at all.
And sudden deaths are harder in some ways, easier in some ways. You know, long drawn out death, we have to watch people disintegrate. That is painful. And sometimes by the time they go, there's a certain sense of relief because we don't want to see them in pain. And we have to tell them it's okay to let go. But sudden deaths do not give us any time to process.
No.
And
I'm still processing, you know, like,
you're
I
in
wonder
shock
what
a little
if
bit
he was
still.
In pain. Yeah, I am in shock still. I mean, it was, there was no warning sign, no nothing. It wasn't even COVID. It was just very sudden.
Right. That's why you're young yet, and she was young, and it was very unexpected. So everything you're feeling is to be expected. It's probably worse because we are in the middle of COVID, and it doesn't give you time to, you know, we can't just distract the way we normally could distract. So that's hard too. So, you know, I'm so glad we'll be, you know, talking soon. And Nicole and I adore you, as I had said in the email to you. And, you know, we love that you call in, and that's what we're here for. We're that, you can't keep sharing this with your family members because they worry about you too. So sometimes this is the safer space to say what you're really feeling that day and kind of spare family members who don't know what to do to help you and who feel terrible when you feel terrible.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, good luck to you, and we'll see you soon. Bye.
Thank you, and have a very happy birthday and happy anniversary.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
another year, you know, I'm like, these years are like rolling on, coming on fast. Yeah, when I think about it, I'm like, oh my God, I'll be going to be 68 years old. I'm such an old lady, and I try to, like, you know, when I think
well, you don't look it, and as long as your mind is young, you're good to go.
That's what I said. I'm like, I was a person that at 20 said, I don't believe in aging. And I've tried to, like, live by that mantra, you know. But, you know, sometimes the sheer number of it, I'm like, oh, my God, I can't even count that high anymore.
Not at all. Well, enjoy. Happy birthday. And Nicole, feel better.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Have a good night.
Okay, well, now we have Suzanne, and her friend Mary Ellen came today, who they worked together. And that's funny that Suzanne should come, and it was a funny kind of reading at their workplace, because here I am at their workplace. This is like, I don't know, 15 years ago. She would know better than me, but, and, you know, I'm an old soul. When I'm in someone's workplace or house, I like to be respectful, right? And meanwhile, all I'm seeing is all you people are getting laid off from this job any minute, you know? I don't think anyone believed me at the moment, but it all turned out to come true, so it was one of those
I'm telling everybody out there right now that if Cindy says something that seems a little bit batty or loony, you take that shit seriously, because she did a reading, okay, and she predicted something, and I kid you guys not, we thought that Cindy was had a little bit of a screw loose when she said this, and I'm like, there's no way. This is not going to happen. Like, it's so not characteristic. No. She's wrong on this one. She's got her wires crossed. She's wrong on this one. And 7 years later, it happened exactly as she said it was going to happen. Okay? Just because it doesn't happen tomorrow or in the next 6 months does not mean it's not going to happen at all. So just keep
well, this happened. These people all got laid off like the week or two later. That was the irony of it, you know. And imagine, I'm trying to say quietly, look, I'm in your, you know, this is your workplace. I don't know what your boss is like running me out of town here. You know? So
yeah, right.
Keep this quiet here. So let's see, Suzanne, what's her?
All right, well. Suzanne, last time she called in, you said that she was going to be getting a new job around this time of year. And you also told her that this new job that was on the horizon, she was going to get it, and it was just going to be like an easy acquisition, that Suzanne was going to be shocked at how easy the acquisition was. Well, it just so happens that Suzanne had a job interview today. And she feels really, really good about it. And the guy's wife is going to be calling her tomorrow about the job. And she wants to know, Cindy, is this it? Is this what you were talking about? So here we go out to Suzanne in New York. Hello, Suzanne. You're on the air.
Hi. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Suzanne. So it's funny that you should be thinking of a new job when I'm talking about the old, one of the old jobs, you know. And
I remember that day so well.
Me too. Don't you remember it like it's yesterday? Now, I don't tend to remember much of anybody's readings, but that day I can remember being there. I remember the feeling like, oh, my God, like why am I being told in this place to tell people, you know, you're working for the devil, they're going to lay you off?
You know what? You were spot on. Like, every single thing you told us that day happened exactly the way you said it would. And it was, you know, I mean, it was all for the best, because goodness knows we were a lot less stressed, but it was just crazy.
But at that moment when I told it, everybody there was like, no, this is not what's happening.
I believe you, because you brought me there and you knew, you know, like you predicted pretty much everything that's happened in my work life since I worked at the airlines.
Oh, yeah. And so it's funny that this looks very good on this job. It looks really good. I mean, the money, they actually look like they're kind of generous. Did you ask them about salary? Because they look like they're generous people here.
Well, what happened was I took your advice. And, you know, I haven't had a raise in my old job for a while. So I went in asking for a little bit more money than I'm currently making. And he didn't even blink an eye. But, you know, we spoke for maybe 20 minutes. And he goes, it sounds to me like you're exactly what I'm looking for. You're highly qualified for the position. My wife's going to call you tomorrow. Can you come in and meet her either tomorrow or Monday? And I was like, I can come on my lunch hour. So
wow.
I was just you had told me it would be a family-owned company that was growing, and he's in the middle of working with a franchise attorney to franchise his business.
And wow, and he needs you. They need you.
Yeah,
okay.
That's what he said. He was like, I need you to start yesterday.
And it does look like they are going to sell the franchise because there's big changes here. So you'll be there with all these changes. It looks really great here. I would be shocked if you didn't get it because it looks really great here. They liked you a lot. You know, it's funny because, you know, you're younger than I am, but we're no spring chickens here. And like normally job hunting, there's ageism, but these people didn't want anyone young. They wanted someone with experience. They wanted someone who knows what they're doing.
And he said, because I've been through a couple of acquisitions already, he's like, you're just what I'm looking for. You're highly qualified and, you know.
So
like,
it looks great. And so you're going to, like, email me or message me tomorrow and let me know what happens because it looks like a shoo-in here. Your daughter has had her child and she's over the COVID. Because remember,
she's over the COVID. She did have the baby. The only thing, remember you had told me that there were going to be a couple of hiccups. My son-in-law wasn't able to go, but I did get to go and witness my granddaughter being born, which was phenomenal.
Uh-huh.
And my daughter is just my hero. But the baby was born with a skip in her heartbeat. We had that checked. She's fine with that. But now they're telling her that the baby's had like a little bit of a rash on her bottom, and they think that it's because she has a dairy allergy. So they want Megan to stop eating dairy and, you know, because she's nursing her 100%. So I just didn't know if that was going to come true. Cause
it looks like the rash in the bottom will get better. It all looks like everything will be okay.
Everything with baby so far has been a hurdle. She wasn't gaining enough weight, and then she gained a lot of weight because she's nursing her.
That's when the doctor's going to start asking her, what are you feeding her? And you'll say breast milk. And my doctor said, and what, chunkies? Because my daughter was so fat.
Exactly, because she's overproducing. So I just want to make sure everything's going to be okay.
Yeah, it looks very good. Everything looks good here. You know, everything looks great. And I'm so glad you're switching jobs, because you remember the last reading we were talking about, it's time for a new job, okay? Time for a new job, okay? You know, and you knew that you had to keep looking, and when you found the right fit, it would really be happy.
It'd be so easy that it would shock me. And I mean, I just picked up this job off Indeed, and on a lark, I went for the interview on my way home, and he's like, okay, my wife will call you tomorrow, and this looks really good, and, you know, we'll see if we can get you in 2 weeks. And I was just like, okay.
Wow. And remember, they are a company on the move, and they just need someone who could step in and do their job. And they look like they will appreciate you a lot, you know. It looks like very good energy and vibration. Did you sense that there too? Because,
I did.
You know, when
I
someone
liked him. He's much younger, like you said, but you know, he's looking for somebody who can be his work wife. He said.
Wow, and that whole thing is that. You have to feel an energy in a place. And, you know, these corporations that usually make people get 5 or 6 interviews, I'm just, like, turned off by that, too.
Right. You know, well, I had anticipated a second interview, but he's like, it made it sound like I've gotten the job, and he just wants his wife to give it the final okay.
Right, exactly. And, you know, that's great. Like, he's letting you know he likes you. This nonsense with 6 interviews, I mean, that's like not normal. Why would you have to have 6 interviews? This is insane.
Right.
And so, you know, my feelings are just keep, you know, just be you when you go in, okay? Just be you. Just like you were you know, you came from work, you were tired. So you were, you know, you're just being you. Like, you know, that's it. I did this on a spur of the moment. I did it fast. And that's so not you, by the way. To do anything on the spur of the moment, okay?
I know, but I was taking your advice because you said to me, apply to everything that looks like it's in the realm and then just go for it. And I did it, and I was shocked when I walked out of there in the pouring rain. I was like, they hired me.
Yep, and you see, they loved you, and that's what you want, someone who knows that you're good. You know, it's when you know what you're looking for, you know what you're looking for, okay? You don't need to interview 14,000 other people. You know it. And,
right.
you know, they're kind of busy. These people are too busy
yeah.
to have to do six interviews with 60 people. They don't have the time here. So he's almost feeling like God brought him a blessing because he doesn't feel like filtering through 60 people. That's not what he's got too much other stuff to do right now.
Well, he's seen that like that. Like he was kind of asking me questions. He asked me some, you know, pertinent questions about my job performance and things I've done in the past. I gave him, you know, both the presidents of the companies that I've worked for before for references. And he was like, well, I don't want to make you feel like I'm pushing you out the door, but this looks good to me. You're more than highly qualified for it. And I'll have my wife call you tomorrow. He goes,
well,
do you mind getting it? And I said, absolutely not. And then, you know, I was kind of shell-shocked. I didn't even tell him that I need off for my son's wedding in May, so I have to, you know, bring that up tomorrow because I didn't get a chance.
Bring it up, bring it up, because that's fine. You know, that's fine.
I only need a week, and I'll be happy to go in and do payroll on that week. It's not a big deal, but I'm just, like, it took me by surprise. Now, my flip side question is...
I'm not surprised.
I know. Well, you predicted it.
I'm not surprised. And it should be a coincidence that Mary Ellen should come in today just to, you know, at the same time we discussed
how weird
it.
Was that? Because her husband was always my go-to reference when I went to change jobs or whatever. He was always the first one I would call, and he would mentor me through my changes, you know? So.
Well, he's the one claiming from the other side, because our listeners don't know that he has passed and he was a wonderful man.
Yeah.
Helped you today. He helped you today. Okay. He was there helping you today.
I was actually channeling him on the way over there, talking to him in the car. That's so funny.
And that's what I would say. If you think that's not is that a coincidence? Like that this whole thing should come round full circle. And part of what, you know, he was the one who, you know, didn't always listen to what I said. And these people did really take advantage of him and not do right by him. So, you know.
In every way. And, yeah. And, you know, I believed everything you said wholeheartedly. And Mary Ellen was at that meeting.
Right. Exactly. Yep. Exactly. And, you know, so it just is, that's the little blessing that this is meant to be today.
Yeah. It's all connected. Now, am I going to have a rough exit when I leave this company?
No, it looks smooth here. It looks smooth. Anyway, we're going to be knocked off because we're already over time. They're going to knock us off, and I want to make sure I say goodbye to people before they cut us out. We got about 5 seconds left.
Indeed.
Yeah, no, it'll be smooth, and look, who cares what happens? Goodbye. Goodbye to them, to this job, and you move forward with your new job. So message me and let me know what happens, okay? Bye. Nicole, have we been cut off? Are we still here?
Nope, we are still here, but we only have a couple seconds left because the countdown is coming to our dismissal here. So, all right, Cindy, as usual, you did a wonderful job this evening. Thank you very much to all of our callers, and thank you to all of our listeners. And no show next week, guys, and we will talk to you in 2 weeks. Everybody be safe.
Okay. Bye, everybody.